Thank you, guys. Man, I don't know about you guys. So Michael earlier this week, he promised me that he wasn't doing that medley of songs because I had just turned 50. He promised me that wasn't what it was about. But it was good to sing some of those songs. But thank you very much for that. Do you guys want to just express some gratitude to our worship team this morning for all they do? I'm grateful for them. So grateful. And grateful for Michael very much. So as you know, we have been in a series where we've been talking about what it means to thrive, right? What it means to live lives that where we're flourishing in a world that is fallen. And so we've been talking about each week these five dimensions of human flourishing that if we're thriving in all of these different areas, then that means we're flourishing, we're thriving in our lives. And we've talked about, last week we talked about faith. This week we're going to talk about relationships. We're also going to talk about vocation, finances, well-being. These are the five core dimensions of our lives that if we're really flourishing in those areas, then we're flourishing, right, in our lives. We're thriving. And I don't know about you, but a few years ago, we all went through something together that taught us some important lessons about thriving, right? We went through global pandemic. We went through isolation, right, where we all had to be in our houses. And we learned during the midst of all of that, we learned that we suffer when we're isolated, right? We learned that our physical health suffers, our mental health suffers. Nearly every part of our lives is affected whenever we're isolated. I don't know if you know this or not, but a recent Meta Gallup survey found that one in every four people, that's 24% of people, one in every four people over the age of 15 report feeling very lonely or fairly lonely. Did you know that? 24% of folks. And so we're finding that community is really, really important. Relationships are very important. And we're finding that many of the things in our lives that we look to boost that sense of community, many of the places that we go to try to find that sense of connectedness are actually working against it. Social media, over and over again, we're discovering in recent research, right, that people who spend a lot of time on social media feel more lonely, more disconnected than people who don't. And so this thing that's really designed, was meant to connect all of us, is actually working in a counteractive way in our lives. So we know that relationships are critically important to our well-being. There's no way that we can thrive if we're not thriving in the area of our relationships in our lives. And humans naturally seek out community. We naturally seek out relationships. We were wired for relationship. Healthy community helps us thrive, right? But listen, toxic or unhealthy community harms us. It weakens us. Where we go to find community is as important as community itself. There is a such thing as negative, toxic community. So where do you go? Where do you go to find community? That core group of people who are closest to you, right? What are their values? That matters as much as being connected. It's not just being connected. It's being connected to healthy community, healthy relationships. Check this out, though. Barna Research Group asked several questions, and those of you who've done our Church Pulse survey, you know about this. They asked several questions. One is this. I'm content. This statement, right? I am content with my friendships and my relationships. That statement. 22% of U.S. adults strongly agreed with that statement. I'm content with my friendships and relationships. But listen to this. 49% of practicing Christians strongly agreed with that. Here's another one. My relationships are as satisfying as I want them to be. 18% of U.S. adults strongly agreed with that statement. 36% of practicing Christians strongly agreed. And we learned two things from these numbers. One thing is that even in the body of Christ, we still have a lot of work to do. I don't know about you, but I'm not content with 36% of practicing Christians saying that they're content with their relationships, they're satisfied with their relationships. I'm not okay with that, right? We've got a lot of work to do in the body of Christ. But here's the other thing that you need to know, that this research, this data actually bears out, y'all. When we are connected to the church, when we are connected to the body of Christ, we are more likely to find healthy, flourishing relationships than we are apart from it. The role, practicing Christians are people who, they're people, according to Barna's research, they're people who Jesus is the center of their lives, right? Scripture is the authority, and they are regularly engaged with a worshiping community. And so we know that those of us who are connected to the church, right, those who are connected relationally in the church are more likely to thrive in the area of relationships than other people. That's important because where we find community matters as much as finding community in the first place. And so we've got to remember that. So Scripture tells us that we're meant to discover community in Christ Jesus, right? And there's this word, and those of you who have been to our new member class, you've heard this before, but there's this word in the Greek New Testament that we translate church. It's the word ekklesia. And the word ekklesia actually means a fellowship of like-minded people. And so in the ancient world, it was a very common word. You used it for all kinds of different things. Anytime there was a group of people gathered together with one common purpose or one common goal, that was an ekklesia. And this is the word over and over again that's used in the New Testament to describe the people of God, the people of Jesus, an ekklesia. The word we use to translate that word is the word church, but that's kind of a problematic word because the word church actually comes from a Germanic word, kirk, okay? And that word, kirk, was used to refer to the high places where people would go to offer sacrifices to the gods. There were these places that people thought the veil between the material world and the spiritual world was really thin, and so they would go to those places to offer sacrifices. So church refers to a location. Ekklesia refers to a people. And I want for you to understand this morning, when we use the word church, we're not referring to a location. We're referring to a people. A people who are bonded together over their love of Christ. And y'all, that's what the church is supposed to be. We don't come to church. We are the church. Do you understand that distinction? So here's Paul in the New Testament, right? And his main job is to take this really crazy, disparate group of folks who have accepted Christ from all these different walks of life. His job is to try to shape them into a people, to help them to become this ekklesia that God had designed them to be. And in 1 Corinthians, he's writing to this group of people who, man, they are really struggling to understand what it meant to live in community. They are getting it wrong in almost every way. And so in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we're going to be looking today, we get a glimpse because Paul's writing. He's trying to tell them this is what you have to have. This is who you have to be in order to become all that God's created you to be. And so we get a glimpse of what it looks like to thrive in our relationships. And we also understand how being a part of the church actually produces that in us. And so as we read through this passage, we're going to look at some things these are some truths that we need to abide by in order for our lives to have healthy, flourishing relationships. Okay, so we start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body, and by one Spirit, we all share that same Spirit, right? We've been baptized in the same body, into the same Spirit, and we all share that Spirit. That's what he says. So the first thing we see in this passage that we've got to remember, if we're going to have healthy, flourishing relationships, is this. We belong together. We belong together. Belonging is a big deal. You don't need for me to tell you that. Anybody who has ever been to junior high, right, understands that deep compulsion inside of us, that almost uncontrollable desire to fit in, to have a group, right? We all know what that feels like. We know we need to belong. But y'all, we live in a culture that is divisive. We live in a culture that constantly wants to categorize people, to divide them into tribes, and then those tribes divide, and then those tribes divide. We live in a culture that is constantly in a state of conflict and division. That's the world we live in right now. And listen, y'all, the early church that Paul was writing in, they lived in a culture that was really similar to that. The church itself was full of all kinds of different people from all kinds of different corners of Roman society. There were people who were sometimes in groups that were at odds with one another. And Paul's saying to them, they would have probably disagreed with each other about a lot of things, but because of Christ, they had come together. I probably talk about football too much, okay, as a pastor. I know that, okay? But one of the things I love the most about football is that you get into this group with all these guys. They're from all different walks of life, all different parts of the high school, right? All of the different, whatever those subcategories are that high schoolers just divide themselves into. You get this football team that's got all different people from all those different groups. And this beautiful, magical thing happens over the course of 2 days, and then over the course of the season, like this group of all these different kinds of people from all these different walks of life, this group becomes a team. It's beautiful. If you talk to anybody who's played like professional football, when they retire, the thing that they tell you that they're going to miss the most is the locker room. It's this crazy bond that happens between people when they're gathered together for a common purpose. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's telling them, he's reminding them of this miracle that God has done among them. He tells them that God has done that. He's bound them together, and he's continuing to do that among them. It's a miracle that has happened, and it's continuing to happen. He's like, look, you guys have received the same Spirit. That's what he tells them. And so he uses this analogy of the body, right? He uses this analogy of the body. All of them are different body parts, but guess what? They all have the same blood flowing through them, the Holy Spirit. And this is important because he's not saying that they're connected like a family. And that's how we often in the church want to describe ourselves. We want to describe ourselves as a family, having a family atmosphere. We share genetic material, right? That's not what Paul says. It's way more intimate than that. You guys are part of the same body. The same blood flows through all of you. You're one thing. And that's something that the Holy Spirit of God has done and is doing. And it's a miracle. Guys, we all need that sense of belonging. We all need to feel like we have a place. And what we hear in this scripture is that it exists for us in Christ and in His church. That's where God Almighty has chosen to meet this deep-seated need we have to belong in the church. And so here, friends, guess what? Here, we're not divided into political camps. Not here. We are not divided into ideological groups. Not here. We're not divided along racial or ethnic lines. Not here. We're not divided along socioeconomic lines. Not here. Not in this ecclesia. We've all received the same Spirit. And we might disagree about stuff. We do disagree about a lot of things. But in Christ, we've received the same Spirit. We are one. Listen, we've been placed together by God Almighty. He is the one who has created and formed and shaped this body. And so the Holy Spirit of God, friends, unites. The spirit of this world divides. We can tell what spirit is at work in us really easily when we're with the people of God. Because a spirit that brings us together, that unites us, that's God's Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The spirit that divides us, that's the spirit of this world. It's the spirit that's making us into a body. And this happens not just in the church, but in all of our relationships, friends. The Holy Spirit brings us together. The spirit of this world, though, is constantly trying to divide us. We belong together. But Paul keeps going. Verse 14, he says, yes, the body has many different parts. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part, listen, just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but there's only one body. So we know we belong together, but listen to this. We have something to offer. That's really important. The world that Paul lived in was a world that was divided between those who were wealthy, who were powerful, who had political influence, and the rest of the world. In Paul's world, there were these huge swaths of people, these huge segments of society that were viewed, and in the worldview at the time, they were literally worthless. They existed only to be manipulated, controlled, and used by the wealthy and by the powerful. That's the world that Paul lived in. They were just human garbage, right? And Paul tells the church that in Christ, the opposite thing is true. The opposite of the way the world views people, Christ views them opposite, right? Every single one of them in the church, each of them has to make a contribution to the body. Each of them is important to the proper functioning of the body. Everyone brings value. And so we live in a culture, our Western culture has been so heavily influenced by Christ and by the early church, right? That we like to think of ourselves as people who view all other humans as people with intrinsic value. We think that of ourselves, right? And as Americans, we really think that because our Constitution says it, right? And so we imagine ourselves as people who view everyone else as having significance because they're made in the image of God. But I don't need to tell you, in practice, that is not how our culture operates. It doesn't. People who are different than us are viewed as having no real worth at all. They don't have anything. There's no way they could teach us anything. There's no way they could help us grow, people who are different than us, right? I literally watched a sermon a couple of days ago, and it was a pastor. And he was standing in front of his church on a platform just like this one. He was standing in front of his church and he was saying, look, if there's anyone in this room who does not vote for the same people that I vote for, you need to just leave right now. Just go ahead and walk out. And what he was saying to them is like, if you disagree with my politics, right, then we don't share the same spirit. If you disagree with my politics, right, then to me, you're worthless. And friends, look, we're getting ready for an election cycle that's going to be really divisive, okay? And we need to prepare for that. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about politics. What I'm talking about right now is that we have a tendency, all of us, even in the body of Christ, we have a tendency to treat other people who are made in God's image as less than image bearers. We have the tendency, even in the church, even among those who claim the name of Christ, we have a tendency to dehumanize people who disagree with us, who think differently than we do about things. And guys, the church, this ecclesia, it's not supposed to be like that. We understand that God's made us all different on purpose. And God, this happens in our relationships too. If we're not careful, you know what we start to think? We start to think that in our relationships, we're the most important. We're the most valuable. We do this without even realizing we're doing it, right? It's our desires, our hopes, our feelings. Those matter more than the feelings, the hopes, the dreams of other people that we're in relationship with. If we're not careful, we begin to think of ourselves, value ourselves more highly. And Paul just rails against that. He's like, no, that's not how it works. We're all connected. We are all important. And your relationships, the other folks that you're engaged in relationship with, are absolutely as important as you. Their hopes, their dreams, their future. But the opposite of that is just as toxic. We'll think, I'm worthless. I don't bring anything to this relationship, right? I've got nothing to offer. And I need to say something to you as gently as I know how, as lovingly as I know how. I need you to hear me. That feeling, I'm worthless, I've got nothing to offer. Friends, it's just another kind of selfishness. That's what it is. When we're consumed with ourselves, we can have thoughts like that. But Christ doesn't allow us to think like that. All throughout Scripture, all throughout the New Testament, we hear over and over and over again that we are made in God's image, that we were created to perform specific functions for the kingdom of God. We have a place within it. There's a good work that God has created each of us to do. And the only way we can deny that is if we're all consumed with our own shortcomings and with our own failings. If we're so turned inward, that's the only way that we can walk away from who Christ has made us to be. And some of us this morning, that's where we're living. And the message for Christ for you today is, look, are you struggling this morning? Do you feel like you're not thriving in the area of relationships because you tend to view yourselves as worthless, as having nothing to offer? Seek to serve someone. Find someone and serve them. Remember, we serve a Savior who, as one of his last acts, took off his robe and grabbed a water basin and washed the feet of his disciples. And then as one of his last instructions to them, he said, this is how I want for you to act toward one another. Service is the central characteristic of Jesus. And if we want to figure out how to thrive in our relationships, we serve. Paul didn't stop there, though. Listen. Verse 21. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts don't require this special kind of care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So the last thing we see in this passage is that we need each other, friends. If we're not careful, we can start to imagine that we're self-sufficient, that we can navigate through life on our own strength. And look, as soon as I say that, there are so many people in this room, you would raise your hand and you'd be like, listen, I know I can't do it on my own. I know I'm not strong enough to do it on my own. I know I need God. You would say that. But have you ever thought about the fact that if you say that you need God, you're talking about a God who's purposefully placed you in relationships with other people. Admitting that you need God also means admitting that you need others. Did you know that? And that's what Paul is driving at with his friends in Corinth. He wanted to cultivate an understanding among them that they were interdependent. He wanted to cultivate a culture of gratitude among them. He wanted to cultivate a culture of gratitude. He wanted for them to be thankful for one another, thankful even for their differences. And he's telling them, look, health or hurt for any one part of the body is health and hurt for all. That's what he wanted to say. He's like, the eye can't look down at the toe. And friends, if any of you guys were to see my toe, you would understand this, right? The eye can't look down at the toe and be like, clearly I'm not connected with that guy, right? That guy's disgusting. I mean, look at him, right? Clearly I don't need that guy because I'm beautiful, right? That guy is disgusting. I don't know what happened to him, but he looks like he has been through the ringer, right? The eye can't say that to the toe. Because if something's wrong with that toe, guess what's affected? The eye, right? If that toe is hurting, the whole body knows it, right? And you cut that toe off, the whole body feels it, right? So the eye can't say to the toe that I'm not connected to you. That toe is really important to the eye, very important, even though it's a long way away, right? Even though it's really far distant, even though its function is completely different, it is totally critical to the healthy function of the eye. You get an infection in your toe, it could go into your bloodstream and be all over your body in no time at all, right? The health of every member affects all the health of the other members. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We're bound together. We're all part of the same body. When we value one another, right? When we know we need one another, we value one another. And when we value one another, we function in a healthy way with relationship to one another. When we value one another, we thrive. I was just listening to this podcast this week, and John Acuff was on the... John Acuff kind of got popular because he had this blog called Things Christians Like, and it was really funny. But then he kind of launched into this career where he's kind of like a leadership guru. He goes around talking to, advising corporations and stuff on how to build a healthy leadership culture. And so he's a really smart guy. He's written several New York Times number one bestsellers, right? But he was describing this time that he was going to speak at a conference. And the other keynote speaker at this conference was a guy who was older, more established than him, who was like a rock star in the area of leadership, right? This guy, everybody knew he was. Everybody had read his books. He was so famous, so popular. And so John Acuff was having this real, he was feeling really insecure because he was thinking about, what am I going to say when we're sitting in the green room together, me and this other guy? And he just confessed. He was like, the green room at these conferences was the worst place in the world for me. I would be in that green room. I would be sweating bullets, more nervous. Way more nervous than when I walked out on the stage to speak to people. I was way more nervous in the green room because I felt so insecure all the time. And so he was praying to the Lord about this. He was asking God, take this anxiety away from me. Here's what he felt like the Lord was telling him. Instead of trying to impress him, why don't you honor him? What a convicting thing for the Lord to say. Because you know what our natural tendency is? Our natural tendency is to try to impress others. And friends, look at me. I got to tell you, this is the problem, maybe, in my life. The problem. I want so badly for other people to like me and to think that I'm good. I'm always trying to impress other people around me. And listen, I wasn't just trying to do it. I haven't been just trying to do it in my friendships, in my relationships, in my workplace. I haven't been trying to do it in those places. Look, that's the way I thought my marriage was supposed to work. I've spent most of the time in my marriage trying to impress my wife. Do I need to tell you how that went? When what the Spirit of God requires of me is to honor her. And I have blown that for most of my life. Still, even today. And if there's a relationship in your life right now where you don't feel like you're flourishing, you don't feel like that relationship is thriving, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about maybe you're trying to impress that other person? Trying to make them love you somehow, when really what you should be doing is just being grateful for them, showing gratitude toward them, lifting them up and honoring them? What kind of marriages would we have if that's what we practiced, men in the room? What kind of families would we have if that's how we operated with one another? You want to thrive in your relationships, you've got to recognize we need each other desperately. We're grateful for one another. We honor each other. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. That's what this ecclesia is supposed to look like. And friends, that's what your family is supposed to look like. That's what your relationships are supposed to look like. There is no way to thrive without honor. So let me ask you. Let me ask you today, is there anyone here in the room that really knows, feels that there's a spirit of disunity that's been at work in you? Spirit of divisiveness? Do you have a tendency maybe to treat other people as less than image bearers of God? And yes, social media accounts, right? Do you talk about other people as if they're not image bearers? If that spirit of disunity is at work in you this morning, ask God for forgiveness. And ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. That's dangerous stuff that I just told you to ask for. But I'm going to tell you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, a spirit of unity will be at work inside of you. Anybody here this morning who's fallen into the habit of viewing others, maybe particularly those who are different from you, as less important? Anybody here this morning who, if you honestly look at your relationships, at your connections, you have prioritized your own desires, your own hopes, your own feelings over those of the people that are around you? Anybody here this morning that have the courage to admit that? If that's you, ask God for forgiveness. And listen to this. Ask Him to put you in positions in your life where you are forced to learn how much the gifts of others matter. Be careful, because God will answer that prayer. Trust me. Anybody here this morning want to thrive badly enough, want to flourish badly enough that you would pray that to God? Put me in positions where I'm forced to learn that other people's gifts are important. Anybody here struggle with feeling worthless? Like you don't have anything to offer? Ask God for forgiveness. Yes, you need to be forgiven for that. Ask God for forgiveness. And then actively seek to start serving those around you. Give your life away. Serve sacrificially someone else in your life. And watch how God proves to you over and over and over again how precious you are to Him and how precious your gifts are to the people who are closest to you and to the ecclesia of the body of Christ. Finally, is there anyone here like me who you failed to honor people in your life? You just forget, really, to express to other people how grateful you are for them, how much they mean to you. You've failed to honor other people in your life. Ask God for forgiveness. And then listen, look for ways to honor and thank others. And I would say, like, if we're just going to start, just wake up in the morning, get a piece of paper, and just write down some people that you need to show gratitude and honor to that day. And then just brainstorm, how can I do that? What are some creative ways that I can do that today? Do that every day. And see what the Holy Spirit of God might do in your life. See how your relationship might go from struggling or just barely hitting that low end threshold. See how your relationships might go from that to actual flourishing, thriving, because we're showing honor to others. Y'all, that's what today's about. Every time we gather, that's what it's about. It's about you and I hearing from the Spirit of God. It's about us responding. It's about us doing something. Listen, there may be somebody here this morning, and you may not know. You may not know that today you can have the same kind of relationship with Jesus Christ that your lungs have with your heart. You might not know that today. You might know all about Jesus. You might be a person who comes to church. You might be a people who generally tries to do good things as opposed to bad things, but you have never thought about having the same kind of relationship with Jesus that your lungs have with your heart. You didn't even know that was possible until today. Well, friends, guess what? The best news of all, it is possible. It is possible for you and I today. The only thing that we have to do to have a relationship like that with Jesus is to say to Him, God, I need You. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to You. If we would say those things to the Lord this morning and mean them with all of our heart, we can be one with Christ. And isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you need in your life? I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up here. But listen, some of us, the Spirit has been speaking to us, and we know that we're not flourishing in our relationships. We know we're not. And so this morning, before we leave this place, there's some things that we need to do in order to move ourselves into a position where we can flourish, we can thrive, right? And so whatever that is, as you're worshiping, whatever, maybe there's someone here this morning you need to talk to. Maybe there's someone here this morning you need to ask them, would you pray for me, right? And if you need prayer this morning, our prayer team is going to be right at that door, right over there where it says, how can we pray for you, right? Right over there. So if you need prayer, you can head right over there and someone will grab you. If you want to know how you can have a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to be sitting down here at the front. You can come talk to me about it. You can go talk to one of those folks about it. Don't leave this place without having settled that. Some of you may be trying to thrive and flourish in your relationships without being connected to the ecclesia. And so we're going to do something a little different this morning. Anybody here this morning who's like, you know what? I need to be in the church. I need to be a member of the church. I need to do that. I need to get that straight today. No more waiting. Just come down here to the front, and we're going to work on that with you right here this morning. But whatever it is, however you need to respond, do not miss this chance. The Lord God is speaking to each of us this morning, and there's things that we need to do to respond. Don't miss it as we sing. As we worship. Stand with me. Let me pray for you. Father, oh God, you know how desperately unqualified I am to preach this sermon this morning. You know how I have failed in my relationship so many times. But God, you love me. You have extended your grace to me, and I'm so grateful for that. And I know you're doing that for every person here this morning. Lord, speak to us, break our hearts, convict us, show us where we need to change, and then give us the courage right now, in this moment, to take the steps we need to take in order to change. Help us to cry out to you. Help us to fall on your mercy. Give us courage and strength to do what we need to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.